Well, good morning again on this Memorial Day 2010, a date on our calendar that goes back to the Civil War, actually, and some say it was basically started by a group of Confederate widows, and there were memorial ceremonies and grave decoration ceremonies in the South on a small scale. And then Memorial Day was officially proclaimed in May of 1868 by General Order Number 11, which I'll read to you in the next hour. General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic designated May 30th as a day that flowers should be strewn on the graves of those fallen in combat. And of course, we've been in combat and we've been honoring our veterans and our veterans who have been killed and who have been missing in action for all of those decades and centuries. The Moving Wall is the half-size replica. There are two of them, a half-size replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., and it's been touring the country for more than 20 years. John DeVitt attended a ceremony back in, went to the wall back in 1982 at the dedication, and he vowed to share that experience with those who did not have the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C., and go to the wall. And in some cases, it takes years and years for someone to finally get over to Washington, but the Moving Wall is in Westerville, Ohio today. And it's great to welcome back Sharon DeNito. Sharon is down in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Sharon, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Great. It's great to have you with us on this Memorial Day. I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule today.
Listen, it's an honor, and I just want to extend to all the veterans and their families and friends out there, we are thinking of you on this Memorial Day. You're in our thoughts and always in our hearts.
Jim Schickler, Polecat Schickler, is with us on the program, too. He was an Army helicopter pilot with the 192nd in Vietnam back in 69-70, and one of the founders of the Virtual Wall. In fact, he served as president of www.virtualwall.org from March of 97 through July of 2003. Jim's also the guy with a friend who invented and patented the combination digital camera and cell phone. And the virtual wall is really an important adjunct, I guess you might use that word, Jim, for the actual wall in Washington and the moving walls. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you.
It's great to have you with us from up around Buffalo. So we got the East Coast pretty well covered with you two, Florida and New York.
Well, we're the first stop.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. For those who may not be aware of, Sharon, tell us a little bit about the moving wall. And as we know, it's a half-size replica, and there are actually two moving walls.
Yes, that's correct. There's the A wall and the C wall, and the C wall right now is in transit to its next location, which would be Greeley Hill, California. So they're coming in from Wisconsin this past week, so they have quite a drive. And the other, like you said, is in Westerville, Ohio, then going on to Springfield, Ohio. So look for it. The moving wall, like you said, was created by John DeVitt in 1984 with the help of two friends, Jerry Haver and Norris Shears. And we've been traveling around. In fact, last year we celebrated our 25th anniversary, mm-hmm. and the Moving Wall is the original and most accurate replica that travels around the country. We are half size, almost exactly. We're 252 feet in length, each side being 125 feet. We have 148 panels because we added the extra panels so that you really could see the design of the memorial from a distance. So it has everything in the exact same order, and that includes all the mistakes that were made on the original wall. And it does travel to each city for 5 days with the hopes that the city will embrace it and it will be their memorial for that time frame.
Jim, now you, of course, are deeply involved with the virtual wall, but did you start off with activity with the moving wall?
Yes, I did. I was the first webmaster for the moving wall in 1996. And then because of that, I received several email notes from people that said, gee, I would like to somehow honor my brother on the Internet, my brother who died in Vietnam. And how can I do that? And I thought about it and kept thinking about it, is that, gee, you know, each person, if they made a memorial page on their own personal web page, that would be very beautiful. But how would anybody find all of them? So the virtual wall essentially was a way that we could pull together these. And we also link, besides having individual memorial pages for each casualty of the war right on our own website, we will link to other persons, you know, if they have a memorial page on their own website, for example. So it was actually, we founded the virtual wall based on a request from people that, how can we do something like this?
You know, Sharon, the virtual wall, and I'll use this word again, as an adjunct to the wall in Washington, to the moving walls, It seems to me that this will perpetuate the memory and the principles of those who died in Vietnam, especially because you go to the wall. You may be a high school kid. You go to this thing in Ohio or California someplace, and you don't know nothing about Vietnam. You don't really care, but maybe it touches you in a way that. And if you're a high school kid, you were definitely into the Internet. So one thing might lead to another, and that kid might wind up being involved at a later point.
Well, absolutely. We at the wall always try to provide as much information about the veteran as possible. Everyone has to remember that the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is the first and only memorial ever dedicated to each individual veteran that served in Vietnam. It's not called the War Memorial. It is not dedicated to that conflict. So when they come, we try and provide the information and hope that someone will go back and look up on the virtual wall, not only the information, but it also has their picture, their medals that they were received, and sometimes there's little bios or other people that have been involved with that person, and then actually a network sometimes surfaces from that.
Yeah, the network idea is kind of where I was going. Thank you for that word, because that's where I was kind of leading to next. Polcat, the networking here has got to have just been logarithmic.
Yes, and it is so beautiful. We have received email notes, for example, from a man who said, a person who is a buddy of a guy who died in Vietnam left a memorial page of remembrance saying, I was named after, his son. He named his son after the guy who died in Vietnam. And that memorial page stayed there for years, but then all of a sudden it was found by the brother of that man who died. And there's nothing as valuable to a family as knowing that the namesake lives on. And these two people, that is the brother of the man who died and the young man who was named after the man who died, have created a very close friendship, and they visited each other. And it's just beautiful.
On this particular Memorial Day, six names now have been officially added with the blessing of the Department of Defense to the wall.
That's correct.
Granville, Hofe, Miles, Morehouse, Taylor, and Vivona. How much red tape does that entail? Is it a years long or a months long process?
Well, first of all, you have to have the dedication and a lot of time, because exactly what you said, the red tape. And because of the original criteria, there's no area for real loopholes. Unfortunately, sometimes the family members cannot pursue it anymore because of health or other, you know, factors. The last gentleman, Ronald Viova, he actually, a group got together and put a petition through and have been working hundreds of hours getting all of this data together to get him approved. And I know for a fact it's been worked on for more than 5 years.
Wow.
So there's not that many spaces left on the wall, for one thing, which makes it difficult. So it is a case-by-case basis. We have been having a lot of families contact us recently, both on the virtual wall and my Touch the Wall site, saying, you know, my husband has just died or my father just died. I would like to put his name on the wall. And we have to, unfortunately, go back with such a heartbreaking explanation saying it possibly, probably cannot be done because of the circumstances. But now there is programs where that veteran can still be honored on the internet, not maybe through the virtual wall, but through the in-memory program, which is connected to the in-memory plaque now adjacent to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Exactly. So where there's a will, there's a way, huh?
Well, we would love to be able to have every veteran honored the original way. Unfortunately, space and money for a new wall was not going to be in the picture. But we do everything we can to make sure that the veteran's family feels like their veteran was as special as the first one killed in Vietnam. The circumstances is not the reason. It is what they're doing for that veteran that is so important to us.
Sharon Donito and Jim Polcat Schickler are with us. We're talking about the moving wall and the virtual wall, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hey, this is Jason Aldean, and I'm a road dog, just like you. Jamming gears with the best trucking radio on radio.
Well, good morning again, everybody, on this Memorial Day. Sharon Donito and Polcat Schickler are with us, and we're talking about the moving walls and the virtual wall. Tom Hanks, of course, spearheaded, not the only person, but he was like the celebrity spearhead of the World War II memorial campaign. And, you know, gee whiz, it took so long for the country to do that. Not so very much so long when it comes to the Vietnam era. I'm a Vietnam era vet myself, and I'm getting older every day. Doggone it, no matter what I try to do. My point is there, with our great World War II vets, you know, we are losing them so quickly. Coming up in our final hour on the program this morning, we're going to have Smokey Parrish, who was one of the atomic veterans. And those are the forgotten heroes of the post-World War II Korean War era that the government has pretty much denied their existence. Time is running out in terms of just age for the World War II and the Korean vets. Is there any sense of a growing urgency now in terms of the Vietnam era vets, Jim, because we're getting older?
Yeah, indeed, you can see that from the obituaries in veteran publications, or the death notices. The several veteran organizations that I belong to, those listings get longer and longer with every monthly newsletter. So, yes, we're approaching that age that we many of us end up saying goodbye. So we'd like to honor them now. And that's one of the things that a lot of people forget, is that the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington says right on it that this is a memorial to all of those who served in the war. Even though it only names those who died in the war, the memorial is made for all of the veterans.
And I think, Sharon, that's a point that is missed quite a bit, I believe, in terms of the general population's perception of the wall itself.
Well, yeah, they come and they want all of the veterans. Unfortunately, there were far too many that served in Vietnam, and they can't all be put on the wall. With programs like In Memory, just this past April, there is a ceremony that goes every year for the In Memory applicants, and there were 98 added to a book that is kept at the National Park kiosk of every veteran who has been placed in the In Memory program. I know when I travel with the wall, when they come, I always make assurances that this memorial is really dedicated not only to a World War II veterans, but every veteran all the way up to the current conflict. One thing I've done is every veteran who has died, no matter what the cause of death was since 1975, I have his name in a book that I carry with me. Whether he died in a training mission or in a skirmish in another part of the country, such as Haiti or Grenada, I want people to know that someone does remember their veteran, and their name not be on the wall, but their name is in my book.
You know, we always wish and pray that the war that we're in or the war that just ended will be the last war. And, of course, the war to end all wars was World War I, and almost immediately in terms of general world history, World War II began. And some folks call the Korean War World War II and a half, you know, because so many of the veterans just left one theater for another almost immediately. If there's any memorial that might spark the flame of ending war altogether, this one could possibly be it, because this one, as you say, Jim, pertains to the people, not to the cause or to the event.
That's right, and you know, it's Maya Lin who designed the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington. She wanted it to be black, so signifying death, and she wanted it to contain the names of all of the fallen as a special honor to them. And as you said, there are many veterans who still feel close to their either their individual unit or within their town, in a veterans service organization in their town that essentially gathers together veterans from many different conflicts and even the Cold War, which certainly was probably our biggest victory, was the fact that many men and women of the U.S. and NATO forces stayed on active duty and sometimes fought with snipers across the boundary lines, as is going on in North Korea today. That the Cold War was our biggest victory because we really did stop the advance of communism. So all of those veterans together, have a brotherhood that when we get together, we honor especially those who died in battle, but we're also there to celebrate the life of all of those who are still alive.
Sharon, I wanted to ask you something, and maybe kind of looking into the future here, and I'll speak of the Gulf Wars, quote-unquote, going back to the, our earliest conflict over there under the first George Bush. Are you being contacted by folks who are starting a small grassroots effort to start memorializing those troops in some kind of concrete way, if you will, with some type of actual physical memorial?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I have been approached by Gulf War or current conflict veterans who wonder, how to get this type of memorial started. And I think because it really encompasses the whole United States, there isn't one individual group that's really taking the ball and running with it. It's starting sporadically across the country. I think because it's still ongoing, it's difficult to say it's time now to get together and start doing something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it is encouraging that the families and friends and the veterans do come to the moving wall and right now use that as a place for comfort and guidance and and camaraderie. Families come there to show a bit of history and also give some encouragement for the future. I know that there are two groups that use not only the Moving Wall or the Vietnam Veterans Wall in D.C. as a real focus of them, but it also shelters them. And that's our MIAs that we consider still missing in action. We have 1,719 that are still considered POW MIAs. And those families often come to the memorial thinking that, you know, their name is up there, but, you know, our loved one is still missing. And the other group is the sons and daughters whose fathers are on the wall. And this Father's Day, there was there's going to be a huge recognition for those kids. In fact, Congress, the House of Representatives, just had a resolution 278 saluting those 20,000-plus kids who lost their dads that are on the wall.
Wow. That's a great beginning there. But, you know, Jim, going back to the early history of Memorial Day, it started with a few groups of Confederate widows who had small little grave decoration ceremonies after the war, and then it kind of moved on. So maybe the whole idea of what Sharon was talking about in terms of the current wars with groups here, groups there, that's how this is supposed to start in the first place. But on the online, though, what happened after the Civil War, and it took decades to develop, can basically be done a lot quicker in the virtual world.
Yes, and on the virtual wall, that's www.virtualwall.org, on our links page, we have links to several other websites that honor the fallen of the current wars, of Desert Storm and Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation During Freedom, that are doing, you know, very similar thing of having posting pictures, a complete list of names of those who died in battle. And ironically, we see here that the internet version of a memorial actually started long time before a physical. And you know, the physical one, when it finally gets momentum and then has to go through the approval process with the government, will probably spring off of one of these organizations that's now doing an internet version.
Exactly. Jim Polkat-Schickler, thank you so much. Sharon DeNitto, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hope you'll both come back sooner rather than later.
Well, it's your invitation, and we are honored to do so.
Coming up, news and weather next.